Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas is meeting with his British counterpart David Cameron ahead of a two-day EU summit. Experts fear that the threat of right-wing extremism is likely to grow over the next 5 years, and the Czech president has chosen a new candidate for the office of judge at the Constitutional Court. Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas is meeting with his British counterpart on Thursday in London to discuss a joint stance ahead of the EU summit scheduled to begin in Brussels on Thursday evening. The two prime ministers will be traveling to Brussels together by train. Both countries will be pushing for an effort to further deepen the common market at the summit, where 25 out of 27 EU countries will sign a new fiscal compact on Friday. The United Kingdom and the Czech Republic are the only two member states to not sign the compact, which is designed to stabilize the euro and bind governments towards fiscal responsibility. However, Mr. Nečas noted that the door remained open for future Czech agreement and has denied that not signing the compact at this point would isolate his country. Former MP and current director of the Law Academy Kroměříž Zdeněk Koudelka will be running for the office of judge at the Constitutional Court. He announced his candidacy at a news conference on Thursday after a meeting with Czech President Václav Klaus. The president said Mr. Koudelka was a great choice for the post and that his knowledge of constitutional law was impressive. The Senate will now have to approve the president's pick for the office. In December, Mr. Klaus had suggested the head of Prague City Court, Jan Svaček, for the post. However, the upper chamber of parliament turned down his choice. A fresh study by the Interior Ministry concludes that there are over 4,000 militant right-wing extremists in the Czech Republic. According to experts, some 400 individuals make up the hardcore of the right-wing extremist scene, which due to its propensity to violence is a long-term threat to society. The study also predicts an increase in attacks on Czech citizens of Romani ethnicity over the next 5 years. Several experts worked on the study, which was led by sociologist Miroslav Mareš. It recommends taking preventive measures in schools to cut down on extremism spreading among young people. The Jeseniki Mountain Rescue Service has called a third-degree avalanche alert, warning skiers not to leave marked skiing trails. The service said that the quick rise of temperatures above 0 degrees Celsius presented a serious danger with unstable conditions and an increased risk of avalanches. The alert will remain in place until temperatures drop again. Colder conditions below zero are forecast for the weekend. And now let's take a brief look at the weather. Mild and cloudy conditions can be expected over the next few days. And after daytime temperatures of up to 15 degrees on Thursday, we actually are expecting a drop back to 7 degrees Celsius by the weekend. My name is Sarah Barufka, and this brings us to the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, thousands of students take to the streets to protest the planned reforms of the education sector. And the famous Tugendhat Villa reopens to the public in Brno. Later on, we'll look at how village architecture has changed over the years. And we'll end as usual with a Czech lesson. So do please stay with us. A week of student protests against proposed reforms of the education system culminated with mass demonstrations around the country on Wednesday after a night spent sleeping rough on the floor of university halls and lecture rooms. Students and university staff took to the streets to show their discontent with reforms which they claim will reduce the autonomy of education institutions, shift the burden of funding to students, and put the academic sphere under the influence of private enterprise and politicians. Cabinet ministers remained behind closed doors on Wednesday as a crowd of 10,000 angry students stood outside government headquarters in an effort to make their voice heard against the proposed reforms. They held up banners reading "Education is not goods," "Defend academic freedoms," and "We're not parasites," the latter in reference to a statement made by President Václav Klaus in relation to the dispute over the planned introduction of university fees. Education Minister Josef Dobiš has raised the ire of both students and academics by completely ignoring their input to proposed changes and riding roughshod over any opposition to his plans. Ivo Mate, deputy head of the Rector's Council, which was to have helped shape the reforms, says that the opinion of the academic sphere was completely disregarded.
Ja jsem loni byl celý rok přítomen.
In the course of the past year, I was on a commission of academics which debated the proposed reforms with ministry officials, and we would spend hours discussing various aspects of the proposed changes. But every time we met again, any progress made was lost and the amended text was back to the original. So after a year's work on it, the ministry just presented its own version of the legislation. It was as if they were thumbing their noses not only at the University Council, but the Students' Chamber, which was very active in the revision process.
Although Education Minister Josef Dobiš has enjoyed strong backing from the Prime Minister with regard to the proposed changes, the strength of the nationwide student protest unexpectedly made him backtrack on the controversial university fees on Monday, only to have him replace them with something called entrance fees for individual semesters a few hours later. The move was greeted with raised eyebrows from coalition partners and derision from the student community. On a working visit to London, the Prime Minister noted that the proposed reforms had been poorly communicated and told the press that he himself would be talking to rectors and the University Council to reach agreement on what was a common goal, improving the education system in the Czech Republic. Where exactly that leaves the Education Minister or the proposed education reform is unclear. The legislation was to have been put to the government at the beginning of March. The overwhelming opposition to it is likely to delay the process by weeks, if not months. Well, and if you want to hear more about how students feel about the proposed education reform, tune in to Monday's one-on-one with student leader Matoš Turek. Moving on now, this week saw the completion of a 2-year restoration project of Villa Tugendhat, a unique functionalist villa in the city of Brno. Its history matches that of Czechoslovakia. Repeat occupation, dilapidation and ultimately restoration, Dominik Jun reports.
Dear Minister, dear Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, dear guests, I dare to say that today is a very special day. Not only the architecture lovers were looking forward to this day, but also the Patriots of Brno and Moravian Patriots. And last but not the least, the ones who have already seen the beauty and flawlessness of Villa Tugendhat, a unique monument of modern world architecture which has been included on the UNESCO list of World Cultural Heritage since 2001.
That was Operational Director Iveta Černá at Wednesday's public opening of the newly restored Villa Tugendhat in the city of Brno, attended by City Mayor Roman Onderka and Culture Minister Alena Hanáková. The famous early 1930s building, known as a key European example of modern functionalist architecture, has just undergone a 2-year, roughly 150 million crown renovation. The 3-story structure was designed by the German architect Mies van der Rohe for a wealthy Jewish industrial couple, Fritz and Grete Tugendhat. The couple fled the country with their children shortly after the 1938 Munich Agreement heralded the beginning of the Nazi takeover of Czechoslovakia. They spent the rest of their lives in Switzerland. In 1939, the villa was confiscated by the Gestapo before later becoming a stable for Soviet troops. In the ensuing years, the villa underwent various modifications, serving as a dance school and children's rehabilitation centre. In the late 1960s, the first renovations took place at the villa, leading to its ultimate opening to the public in 1994. The building is now owned by the city of Brno, although in recent years, descendants of the Tugendhat family have pressed for restitution. Daughter Ruth Guggenheim Duggenhardt was at the ceremonial opening and spoke to Czech television.
Our family didn't just leave this house in Brno and go for a walk. Rather, they were expelled and threatened. It's important to keep that historical dimension in mind and remember that this has an important story to tell.
Her sister Daniela Hammer Duggenhardt also reflected on the occasion.
I spoke a lot with my mother about this house. What I know, based on these discussions, is that my mother loved this house a great deal.
Speaking at the public opening, Iveta Černá quoted the late Gret Duggenhardt as she recalled meeting with architect Mies van der Rohe over discussions prior to the building of the Revolutionary House.
I very much wanted to have a modern, spacious home with clear and simple forms. My husband was genuinely mortified by rooms full of figures and placemats as he remembered them from childhood. From the first time we met van der Rohe, it was clear that he, whose personality had so influenced us, would be the one to build our home. He had a calm, confident manner that was immediately convincing. The way he spoke about his constructions, we felt that a true artist was really standing in front of us. For example, he said that the ideal spaces could not be calculated, but that they should rather be felt when we move around or stand in them. Then he explained to us how important it is in an unadorned modern building lacking in ornamentation to use the best materials, which is something other architects at the time were neglecting.
And that approach, its large iron framework, spacious interior lacking in supporting walls, the architect even factored in its location relative to the sun, is what has continued to make the Villa Duggenhardt, now restored to its original splendour, such a marvel.
Dominic Yoon with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a fresh edition of Panorama, this one on the subject of village architecture. You may know the feeling. You return to your native village after a long absence and come across an eyesore, a building that screams money, power and influence and sticks out like a sore thumb from its surroundings. That is the kind of building that architect and photographer Jan Krummel likens to a flashing gold tooth. Jan Krummel has spent many years of his life documenting the transformation of Czech villages and has done much to make people realize the importance of preserving the cultural and architectural heritage handed down by their forefathers. He has traveled the country back and forth documenting the transformation of streets, town squares and churches and has an impressive collection of the best and worst examples of human activity in this respect. Some appear in his film Vesničko má přestavovaná, My Reconstructed Little Village, a play on the title of Jiří Menzel's film hit My Sweet Little Village. Others went to make up his book Village Architecture 2011. I asked Jan Krummel how he came to be involved in this work.
No tak ono už je to dáno tím, že jsem se narodil na venkově.
I guess it all stems from the fact that I was born in the country. Some of my ancestors were farmers, my father was a village teacher, and what you get handed down in your genes and absorbed during your youth and childhood stays with you throughout your life. But what motivated me most was this program, Dorfenerung, Village Restoration in Austria and Germany, which we learnt about still under communism. I was completely overwhelmed by its approach. In contrast to the communist uniformity, where people were not perceived as individuals but a mass, this approach emphasized that every village was special, that every village was made up of individuals who were important and who all had something different to offer. The democratic approach to people was an eye-opener for me, in view of what we were used to, the fact that people were respected, listened to, and could take part in the shaping of their village.
Jan Krummel's interest in preserving the historic integrity of villages dates back to the communist days, although back then his work involved monitoring the situation more than anything else. Soon after the fall of communism, he published the first translations of the Dorfneuerung program and helped to get it implemented in this country as well. He says the communist years left a sorry mark not just on villages but on people's thinking.
Nutno říct, že taková ta základní myšlenka, že zkrátka...
The communist ideology was that the boundaries between country life and city life should slowly be erased. Everything old was regarded as outdated and surpassed, and there was an accent on modern materials and designs. As a result, precious old buildings, houses, churches and such were allowed to fall into disrepair, and many people accepted the thought that what was old was not worth preserving or maintaining, which is a great pity. Today you see villages where small picturesque houses were torn down and replaced by luxury villas, which is unfortunate because it destroys the character of the village, what we call its genius loci.
Někdy se to vytvářelo do takové až jedinečnosti. Říká se tomu genius loci.
After the fall of communism, much could have been salvaged and modernized so as not to interfere with the historic character of the given place. And in many instances, this was done. But equally so, many people who earned money and did not value the old started building their dream homes, tasteless replicas of castles, Spanish haciendas, and bizarre constructions they had seen somewhere on their travels. After years of suffering a shortage of everything, the market now offered every possible material and every possible accessory in a wide variety of shapes and colours, and people's imagination soon knew no bounds. These buildings can be found in many a town or village and show no respect for their surroundings or neighbours. Jan Krummel again.
Ten můj názor je... na zástavbu ve vesnici je...
In my view, the operational word here is harmony. If you are building a house somewhere or reconstructing one, then you need to look at the surroundings and build something that will add to the charm of the given place rather than deter from it. This should be utmost in the mind of the owner, the architect, but also the mayor, because every village, every community is in a way unique.
In addition to making films, writing and lecturing on the issue, Jan Krummel initiated a nationwide competition called Village of the Year, where the criteria are not just preservation of the historical character of a village, but relate to environmentally friendly projects, cultural activities and social life. Mr. Krummel says that despite the eyesores, he is not entirely pessimistic in this respect.
Vidíme, že...
There is a will to conserve historical monuments. Hundreds of villages have embraced the idea of preserving their cultural and architectural legacy within the village renovation program I spoke about. And the Village of the Year competition has shown us that there are plenty of local patriots who have respect for this legacy and are determined to preserve it and take it further. But unfortunately, there are also those who say, it's my money and I'll build what I like with it. This is democracy, right? And I have no consideration for the fact that this form of exhibitionism not only reflects badly on them, but that it degrades the whole surrounding environment.
Money, power, and a lack of respect for the given community all contribute to the fact that structures that make one cringe have been mushrooming all around the country. How is it possible that the local authorities do not put their foot down even in the most offensive cases? Jan Krummel again.
souhra. Každý se na tom podílí, že? I ten stavební úřad, který to povoluje.
Everyone has a share in this. The local construction authority gives the green light to a project stamped by an authorized architect, so the architect in question carries his share of the blame as well. But to be fair, the construction office does not always see the end result. Often construction work takes a different turn, plans are slightly revised, and the building ends up looking different, very different, and sometimes people construct it without a permit and are ready to pay a fine later. We all know about some of the bizarre constructions that have grown up around Carlo Vivari. Some buildings are out of this world, and the craving to have something different, be it a villa from Provence or something more exotic, well, some people have that.
Jan Krummel's travels have taken him to many parts of Europe, and he says he's envious of the sights he sees in Austria, Switzerland or Great Britain, where people show ingenuity and sensitivity in preserving the unique character of their country houses, right down to their front gardens or backyards. He says that there is much Czechs could learn from viewing those examples, but transplanting an attitude is not easy.
Ale nejen já, ten spolek pro obnovu venkova chce ovlivňovat teda veřejné mínění.
We are all trying. Both I and my colleagues from the Society for Village Renovation are publishing, talking to the media, and cooperating with schools to broadcast the message. I think that education in this respect should start at an early age, and I'm hoping that if teachers make an effort and children see these publications, it will be an education in taste.
Taky využili, promítli dětem, založili v nich takový ten vkus.
Czech architect and photographer Jan Krummel ending that edition of Panorama. If you have strong views on the subject, do share them with us. The address to write to is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. Now we'll wind up today's half hour from Prague with another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series ABC of Czech, which Radio Prague is currently rerunning.
Welcome again to Czech from Head to Toe, Radio Prague's language teaching program, which looks at idioms using parts of the human body. Today's body part is the hand. The Czech word
ruka
and its plural form
ruce
is commonly used for both hands and arms. The number of phrases and fixed expressions using the words is overwhelming. You can try and count how many you can think of in your own language. First of all, the hand symbolizes work and skills.
Má zlaté ruce.
He or she has golden hands. That's what Czechs say about very skillful people. About someone who has trouble making ends meet, Czechs say
žije z ruky do úst.
They live from hand to mouth. Some people earn their livings in ways that are not completely honest, and some of them can, metaphorically speaking, dirty their hands.
Ušpinit si ruce.
If people do not want to acknowledge their wrongdoings and face the consequences, or simply deal with problems, we say they wash their hands of it. Czech uses exactly the same phrase.
Umýt si nad něčím ruce.
The word hand is also used in phrases which refer to distance. If we need somebody or something to be available, to be near, we say we want them to be at hand.
Být po ruce.
On the other hand, if something is far away or out of the way, Czechs use the expression
být z ruky,
literally be out of hand. The hands are also a symbol of power and control. In our imagination, they can hold the scepter, the stick, the helm or the reins. From these images stem phrases such as
mít něco pevně v rukou,
hold something firmly in your hands or have something under control. If something gets out of one's hands, Czechs say
vymklo se mi to z ruky.
And if someone is in a superior position over somebody else and they obey him blindly, we can say
zobou mu z ruky.
They feed out of his hand. The hand also represents cooperation or unity, as symbolized by the handshake, for example. If Czechs say
ruku na to,
they want somebody to promise, to seal a deal by a handshake. Another idiom associated with cooperation is
ruka ruku mije.
Literally, one hand washes another, meaning you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. This has been just a handful of phrases. We could go on, but our time is up. So tune in again next time if you can.
Naschledanou.
Pavla Horáková with that edition of ABC of Czech, and she was ably assisted by Vladimír Tax. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. You'll find us online at radio.cz. All our programs are there in text and sound, plus a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic. I'd also like to bring to your attention the fact that Radio Prague is launching a brand new monthly quiz. You will find the details on our webpage. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and take care.